Okay, I'll call this meeting of the Personnel Committee for the Great River Regional Library to order. Next item is the adoption of amendment to the agenda. Any amendments or additions, corrections to the agenda? There's none, I'll entertain a motion.
So move.
A second.
Dan?
A second.
Yep. Okay. Keith, motion made in second. Any further discussion? Have none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? She carries. Item number three, elect the Personnel Committee Chairman.
I'm not on the Personnel Committee, I just came early.
I'll nominate Mike.
Oh, yeah, Wayne did mention he'd be interested in doing it again.
Wayne was it?
Last year.
Oh.
Bauernschmidt, yeah.
But he can't come?
Not today.
He said he'd be here tonight.
Okay. I'll nominate Wayne then.
I'll second that too.
Second, okay.
I'll move we cast unanimous ballot, Mr. Chair.
Keith for Wayne. Any other nominations?
Move to cast unanimous ballot.
Okay. With that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? She carries, thank you, Wayne.
I think that's how he got elected last year, if I remember right.
Don't show up. That's how the railroad works.
Not really.
Okay.
Fine running until he's...
So tonight I'm gonna become a cheap imitation of Wayne for the rest of the meeting.
You're doing good.
That's the chair. The next is item four, which is GRL policy, personnel policy revisions. This is an action item. Hope people have had a chance to review this and look at this and see if there's anything. Karen, is there anything that we should be aware of in here that, I wanna thank you first off for the strikeouts and that, because that makes it easy to follow along and make sure to see what's changing.
And the summary was really nice.
Julie did the summary. Julie's also done the changes too. There is a clean copy at the end if you wanna see what it looks like without the strikeouts.
That's what I did see, and I did like that.
The major change that is being proposed here is in relation to the PTO payout policy, the PTO donation policy.
Yeah, the donation.
And that's 4C. And Julie might be able to speak to this better than I, she worked with legal counsel to do the change. I believe it's on page 16 in the strikeout version. And on...
17.
We had our attorney look at this policy just to make sure it was in compliance because of some questions we had with IRS regulations. And he did recommend the changed policy. And the reason is to, for tax purposes, for the maybe the way we have it currently now, we would be taxing the giver and the receiver of a PTO donation. So the revised policy eliminates that tax for the giver. So it's basically just IRS compliance. It is a little bit different in that right now we get, if someone has a need, we let people know and then people can donate to that individual. With the way the policy is revised, you would donate to a bank, and then if someone has a need, it's drawn from the bank. And there's some advantages to that too, in not maybe playing favoritism of who gets donated leave or not. So, questions?
Okay, and I look at this is from 2009, 10 years, that's probably time for a freshening up anyway of something like this. And again, I just say I do like the strikeout and the change and that. It's just easy to see what the changes are and follow through with what is being proposed.
Mr. Chairman, the question, Julie, would be, so the bank's created, how do you or how does anyone anticipate there's going to be 5 people that need it or 10 people? How do you distribute the bank and over what period of time?
You're going to do it as a first come, first serve. If there's not money in the bank and someone has a need, then there wouldn't be a donation for them. I can tell you this policy is used very minimally, maybe twice in the 4 years that I've been here.
And Mr. Chairman, I assume if the bank was empty and someone had a need, people could contribute at any time, or do you have to do it is it once in a year?
We would do it during open enrollment.
Got it.
It's very complex if you want to do it per individual and wasn't really recommended by the attorney.
Okay, any other questions?
I had a question. Have we had some overtime issues too in the past that we changed that all around, or that it's just the lawyer recommended that?
Let me look at that one.
3B. This
3B one.
It's changed. I thought maybe there's lots of overtime. So
no, we control the overtime very closely. It just has the compensatory time in the policy, which is not something we even offer. And it isn't something we're required to offer as a public employee. With compensatory time, instead of getting paid for overtime, they can get an hour and a half to use as time off at some other time. So we do not operate payroll that way. And I don't believe we ever have, so I'm not, it
okay,
just,
I just thought,
right, good question.
Everything was cleaned up. Looks really good, though.
The other, I think, one that somewhat, most of them have to do with maybe changing titles or incorporating our current procedure. We attach procedures to our policies. Some of these are just a one-line procedure, so I just incorporated them into the policy. But we do also have the personal leave, which we're proposing that if someone's on a personal leave, they do use all of their PTO before they can go in a non-paid status. In our medical leaves, we allow people to keep 10 days of PTO. But for a personal leave, which would be any personal reason not related to an illness or a family member illness, we feel like we should exhaust all that paid leave before we go into unpaid.
Okay. Jane, did that answer your questions?
Yes, it did.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the policy revisions?
So moved.
Okay, Dave, motion by Dave, second?
I'll second.
By Jane. Any further discussion?
Nothing was addressed, Karen or Julie, about PTO in general.
No.
You and I had a conversation a couple weeks ago, policy, where that's more what we talked about was more actual carryover and
right.
The budgetary.
That policy hasn't been edited in this version. If we were to do that, we'd need more specific information about what to do.
At some time, are we going to talk about that?
To some degree, it's also negotiable, so I think we can. I don't know how you would want to approach that conversation as a committee. So Jeff's question is in relation to the amount of accruals and the rate of accruals based on years of service in our PTO policy. And I think it was also in relation to the amount of carryover from one year to the next. Is that correct?
Correct. PTO, Mr. Chairman, PTO is supposed to be encouraged to be used. It's personal time off to encourage the employees to take time off to become, you know, better personally, to recognize personal situations or whatever. It's not to bank it, in my opinion. It's to make their life better. And so the amount and then the financial consequences of that, I asked about it in one of the budget things that Aaron had sent. It caught my eye that the accruals seemed to be high. But for what it's worth, PTO is not meant to be a bank where we had, in the city, we had, the public works director had 2 years of accrued PTO. So had he been sick, we would have had to hire a replacement for him and continue to pay him. Plus, he wasn't taking the time off that he should. And God bless him, he'd been there 25 years. He voluntarily gave up hundreds of hours to get that in sync, and we put a cap on it. And employees are using it now, as they should use it, with some accrual, but not to the level that we had unlimited.
Mm-hmm. Right. All of
and this isn't unlimited.
No, right. All
but
of
it's
ours
higher.
Capped at 2 years worth of accrual, but the longer you've been here, the higher that amount is. So,
well, don't employees accrue at different rates?
Right. I think it's 1 to 5 and then 5 to
right.
10.
Years of service.
Yep. So at the top end, it's our 20-year plus employees. And Aaron, I don't know if you remember what they top out at, or Julie. I don't remember what that top is. It 2 years at
33 days and 528 hours. So they accrue 200 and it's twice your annual accrual. So I think it's 256 or Well, it's half of 528. I can't think right now, but it's 250 some days that they accrue normally, and then they can carry over that same amount, and then they get to their max. If they don't take it, they lose it.
And Mr. Chair, if they get to their max, could they donate from that point on to the bank?
At open enrollment with this policy change. Okay. They also have the option of doing a payout during open enrollment, and in order to take a payout, you have to take 120 hours that year, and then...
You have to use at least, I think, half of your accrual, and then you can do it's a defined amount that you can cash out, or you could put into deferred compensation.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, again, the only reason I bring it up is it's a potential liability of, one, making sure their employees take the time off to better themselves and, you know, regenerate. And also, it is a liability if someone was off for 3 months or whatever. Somebody's got to fill that position or do something. It's going to put a burden on someone if we let it get too far out of hand. Whether or not it is or not, I don't know, but I think we should have that discussion at some point.
Well, it's also a liability at the end of employment, so... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what would be helpful to have for information to look that over? How would you want
to... Personally, I think if we'd have it doesn't have to be by employee, but how many employees have how many accrued hours? So, you know, how many 25-year employees have how many hours? Maybe just a breakdown of that. Okay. Doesn't have to be by name or anything, but then we'd know there's 10 employees that have this much, 20 employees that have that much.
Makes sense.
Okay. And then the policy itself.
That wouldn't hurt. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next meeting is May 21st at 5:30, and we stand adjourned at 5:15.